I'm Alan.
I'm Rebecca.
And you're listening to the DCAU podcast. Today we're covering Legion of Superheroes.
Yeah, something that I never thought I would ever watch anything to do with. It always seemed very complicated. So.
Yeah, so this film is part of the Tomorrowverse, but enough things... Basically, the bulk of the plot takes place 1,000 years after the majority of the Tomorrowverse, so it doesn't...
Yeah, it's kind of irrelevant that it is, so...
Yeah, but again, it's one of these other things that I think the Tomorrowverse has done very well, which is we are seeing different... characters and different plot lines that we've seen in most of the other kind of DC product.
Mm-hmm.
And also, they've not been afraid to, you know, really go for something really different in terms of plot idea as well. They've certainly not held back, I don't think. They've maybe held back on the animation quality, but budgets.
I don't think
budgets.
It's too bad, honestly.
I mean, you know, it's fine. It's just when you look at some of the animation stuff we were covering earlier.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, look, I still don't feel that they've made the Tomorrowverse feel like it's all connected for me. Mm-hmm. But hey.
So we start, as we seem to do now once every couple of films, uh-huh. with the destruction of Krypton.
Well, you know, but at least we're seeing it from a slightly different angle this time.
Yeah. So, this time we are following Kara Zor-El as her mother. Firstly, we actually see her and her mother interact, which is, it's a nice scene.
Yeah, it's all right. I had no idea who they were at first, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
I was confused over who all these people were. Like, I thought her mum was her, and then I thought, no, that she's not old enough, and then I was like, who is this person? And then it suddenly made sense, like, very quickly. It wasn't like it was, oh my god, who are these people? Uh-huh. It was just, I kind of was like, just a little bit, huh, we're starting something totally different.
So, Kara ends up, so Allura has been making additional pods after... Jor-El warned her that, we might need to get out of this planet now.
Yeah.
And inevitably, only one of the pods works. And it ends
inevitably.
Up being... It ends up being Kara being the only other person to escape from Krypton.
Yes, which we knew about, so, well, depending on whether you count Krypton or not.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know if we've established if Krypton exists in the universe mm-hmm. or not, but... So, as this particular pod, I don't think we ever see Clark's pod at the same time, but Kara's pod gets knocked off course, and then we cut to however long later, Superman's now an adult, Kara's ended up back on Earth. I'm kind of glad that we've skipped over that part of it, because I think we've seen that a couple of times before.
Mm-hmm.
But essentially, we've cut to... Kara has now been on Earth for a few months. Clark is well established. But Kara is not adapting well.
No. No, she's being called a freak. She's, you know, etc., etc.
She does, however, encounter Solomon Gundy holding a gun.
It's quite funny, though, like, when they were, like, going, doesn't even rhyme.
One, the kind of rhyme on that. Two, it's... I genuinely wonder if it's just, well, we have the character model of Solomon Grundy from Long Halloween, so we'll use Solomon Grundy. Supergirl does try to fight him. She at one point does notice people in purple outfits watching her.
Yeah.
And...
Oops. Sorry.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, I just did something stupid. Totally irrelevant to
And Batman and Superman come to Supergirl's aid, easily defeat Solomon Grundy. Supergirl gets an argument with someone because she's damaged his house, well, apartment.
Mm.
And Batman is not impressed.
No, not impressed at all.
And says, oh, she's not in control. She's possibly a threat. He then goes and inspects the gun that Solomon Grundy was using, and unsurprisingly, he doesn't think a zombie who the majority of his vocabulary is one poem could design a modern-looking weapon.
Yeah, well, you know.
Also, the Flash appears, basically to go, yes, hello, I'm the Flash, I exist. I'm not in this movie at all.
Yeah, that is a bit weird.
It's literally just, yes, just a reminder, Flash exists in this universe.
I mean, you know, sometimes it's nice not to have him there.
Yeah.
Maybe it's like any time we think speed might help, we just won't have him there.
So, meanwhile, Superman and Supergirl have a discussion. It's quite clear Supergirl is not adapting. And Superman goes, okay, fine. Let's open a portal to the 31st century and see if you cope in that era of Earth.
I know,
better.
It's a bit weird, isn't it?
So it turns out that there is a time portal between the modern 21st century and the 31st century, where the Legion of Superheroes, who I believe we've actually covered these guys before.
They definitely come up, but I don't remember in what context.
I'm sure it's not one of the... There is a movie that it's... Anyway, I think it's actually establishing that the same three that seem to lead the Legion of Superheroes in this film.
Right.
And Superman basically offers Kara, why don't you, you know, you can stay here. Look, we've even got a Daxamite called Mon-El, and he seems really eager for you to join. Meanwhile, Batman manages to capture some of the purple-suited men as they break into Star Labs, into the room where the various parts of Brainiac are.
Yeah, that was weird.
So, yes, so... But they don't know why these guys were in the room where Brainiac's body was. They have no idea why they'd be breaking into Star Labs.
Yeah, why would you? I mean, come on.
I mean, yeah. So, meanwhile, we go back to the 31st century where the rest of this film takes place. So, we get introduced to various other heroes, including Dawnstar, who has tracking abilities and has a wingsuit.
Yeah, they're all a little bit annoying, honestly.
Oh, yeah. The rest of the Legion of Superheroes in this film are... So just go through them all. So we have three teachers who are Chemical King, Shadow Lass, and Timberwolf. Timberwolf is just Wolverine.
Oh, yeah.
Literally down to it's basically a draw wish wish Wolverine, and that's what Timberwolf is. And the students are Mon-El, who is the only other character who gets a lot of focus, bouncing boy who can turn himself into a giant ball. Phantom girl who is extremely shy and can walk through walls.
So Kitty Pryde.
Pretty much. Arm fall off boy, whose power is that is
ridiculous, but of course James Gunn loves him, so it's fine.
I'll be honest, I don't think James Gunn loves him, he just was looking for an excuse to employ Nathan Fillion.
I'm relatively sure he loves him. So.
Triplicate girl who can make herself into three people.
It's just a very strange superhero name to just have it that specific, but it works in the end.
Invisible kid who can turn himself invisible, but at the moment not his clothes.
Which is hilarious.
Which is brought up, it's brought up for a gag later, pretty much.
Yeah, it's not funny.
And finally, we have their little mascot, Proti, who
appears... cute. I do like.
He is cute. But he's a lump of stuff that can transform.
Yeah, he's kind of pointless, but cute. Like most mascots, I guess.
The only other student is Brainiac 5, who the second Supergirl sees, she attacks.
Yeah. To be fair, she's used to Brainiac being a baddie.
And it's a heck of a fight.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, they end up damaging the school whilst doing it. And both of them get into trouble. Once they leave, the teachers discuss... Firstly, they mention that the actual Legion of Superheroes, you know, the team that this film was named after, are missing. So the Legion of Superheroes does not feature the Legion of Superheroes.
Because why would it?
They also go, none of us remembers voting Brainiac 5 for to be approved to be in this film. Or sorry, in this film, either. In this school. And also, every Brainiac clone that has ever existed, ever, has ended up being evil.
So, automatically, you know, he won't be.
Oh,
automatically.
Yeah, the
like, I don't feel I'm spoiling it. It's like, the minute they bring it up, you know he's not going to be evil. So...
Because, yeah.
Yeah.
So... So we then cut to Kara meeting the rest of the academy. There is a hint that one of them is going to make it into the Legion of Superheroes, though everyone expects it will be Mon-El, as in the only one with actual practical useful powers and the full discipline to use them.
Mm-hmm. It's a bit of a swap, really.
We then have a compilation of various classes where Supergirl's talking, just avoid Brainiac 5 and then he's in every class.
Mm-hmm.
And for some reason they end up paired together on a drone project.
But they work pretty well together in the end.
They actually work pretty well together when it goes berserk and... and tries to kill everyone.
Well, you know, that's what drones do.
So the pair of them get into trouble again. Dawnstar is then incredibly mean about Brainiac 5.
Yeah.
And goes, oh, no one likes him.
It's really nasty. A lot of it's really
it is.
Nasty.
You're meant to be the good guys.
Yeah, it never quite works like that, though, does it?
Kara also notices the same people from before, well, the same uniform of people from before, watching her again.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, Triplicate Girl is out looking for Proti. She sees Mon-El just randomly out and about, and then gets ambushed by... this, well, we'll just call them who they are, the Dark Circle cult attacks.
Yeah.
And it's kills
very strange.
Her. So she dies.
Yeah. This isn't a non. People die in this.
Yeah, like, people die. There are actual stakes for everyone who isn't Supergirl.
Yeah.
Bobby. So, Kara is rehearsing, trying to talk to Brainiac and actually being reasonable. Only to notice that Brainiac is sneaking about and trying to break into the super secure vault where all the weapons of people that
I mean, they do their best to make him look as shady as possible, which is quite funny.
Yep. So Kara cuts him off. At this point, they then find Protea in the dead body of Triplicate Girl. And the three teachers go, there is a dead body. Brainiac 5 is nearby. Brainiac 5 must be responsible because he's evil. He's definitely evil.
All the reason why these people shouldn't be allowed to be like villains. I mean heroes. But they jump to conclusions ridiculously fast. So, you know, like they're just like, yeah, it must be bad.
At which point, so they take Brainiac 5 into a holding cell, and Supergirl points out, this makes absolutely no sense.
I mean, it does make so no sense.
So you're telling me Brainiac 5 went out, killed someone, ran back, and then tried to sneak in again?
Unbelievable.
One thing that does happen is Kara hears the mention of the term the Dark Circle.
Mm-hmm.
So she then breaks into the training room to get info on the Dark Circle, who are a cult that have existed for centuries, approximately 1,000 years. So they've only just started up around about a few months before the events of the start of this film, and that not much is known about them apart from that they keep showing up.
Yeah, they just show up. They are kind of creepy. I thought they did a good job of them being like kind of creepy.
Oh yeah, in terms of faceless henchmen armies, they are very creepy.
Mm-hmm.
Kara then breaks Brainiac 5 out of the holding cell and asks Brainiac why he was trying to get in the vault. It's because of a machine that the Guardians of Oa made before they were destroyed.
I mean, these Guardians cause more trouble than anyone.
Pretty much.
Yeah, I mean, like, seriously.
So they made something called the Miracle Machine that allows you to distort reality.
Which is pretty amazing.
Which, if they were able to do that, how did they not just go, and Sinestro doesn't exist? To corrupt Hal and cause the whole events of Green Lantern to wear my power.
Yeah, it's true.
But Brainiac 5 reveals that he found out that the other Brainiac clones were evil, because there's like four or five Brainiac 5s that were created at the same time. To prevent them from breaking into the vault and stealing the device, he's going to break into the vault and steal the device. And he's the one that hacked the voting system so that he got accepted into the school to allow him to do this.
Yeah, there's a bit of, this is where my brain, you know this already. This is where I switched off and went, yeah, this is the, oh yeah, this is what's going on little thing. It doesn't matter.
And it's also, so this character, the whole idea is he's incredibly logical, incredibly smart, and he comes up with the dumbest plan.
Yeah, it's a ridiculous plan, which has just made me laugh, to be honest. So
regardless, Brainiac 5 and Supergirl managed to sneak to the vault in a way that Brainiac 5 finds humiliating. And when they arrive, Mon-El is also there. And if Kara trusts Brainiac 5, he trusts her.
Oh, he's such a little swat.
Yes. So now we have our team for the rest of the film. Absolutely, these three guys are our main heroes completely.
Absolutely.
It's not like one of the most recent films we had, where it was like, this person who's obviously a good guy can't possibly be the bad guy.
Yeah, exactly. It's not how it works.
Brainiac 5 is then able to defeat both levels of the vault to get in to the Miracle Machine, which causes Supergirl to hug him, which is nice.
It's all right.
I wonder what the arc could possibly be between these two characters that started out as rivals.
Yes, we know. We know what's going to happen.
Yes, absolutely, we know what happened. Mon-El's going to stab Supergirl with kryptonite.
That'd be
just out fun. Of nowhere.
I mean, why not?
Because it turns Everyone out that Mon-El is the bad guy.
Which is ridiculous. It is ridiculous.
It is ridiculous.
I mean, to be fair, all of them is the bad guy, but they, you know, we're used to this in all films, is this kind of, oh, somebody you think isn't a good bad guy is going to be a bad guy. It's fine.
So, it's at this point that the Dark Circle invade the school and very easily defeat everyone else. Meet and confine them all to holding cells, because it turns out that Mon-El was a fascist.
Yes, pretty full much. On fascist.
And that the reason that he admires Krypton is because it was so ordered. And that the world is wrong now because even freaks are allowed to be superheroes.
It's unbelievable, really.
I mean,
it is. If you think about it, it's unbelievable.
If you think about it for 2 seconds, yeah, you just go, okay.
Yeah.
I mean, at least it's not Superman being evil this time. I'll take that.
Yeah, I mean, that's a change. But it's kind of like the stand-in for Superman being evil.
So, Brainiac 5 and Kara are still able to get the dagger out. Kara's still suffering. And the leader of the Dark Circle arrives, and it is the reformed Brainiac.
Yeah, that's kind of mad, isn't it? I wasn't expecting that, but it was quite funny.
So, Brainiac has been rebuilt by the Dark Circle over the last 1,000 years.
It's like a cult, basically. Brainiac cult.
And apparently Brainiac 5 must be smarter even than Brainiac. Because he was the only person that was able to break the code. Brainiac, the rest of the clones, however, still served a purpose. So Brainiac was rebuilt using the bodies of the other Brainiac clones.
It's really nasty, and they're kind of like still on him.
And yeah, I mean, I like it as an idea. It's horrifying, though.
Yeah, yeah.
Also, Brainiac hints that there is a threat coming that only I can stop.
Yeah, yeah, the usual superhero defense of doing something absolutely like messed up.
That said, this could be the first time they go, yeah, we're doing a crisis.
Yeah, I mean, but it's kind of rubbish.
So Brainiac 5 and Kara are able to get away. Which allows Brainiac 5 to actually extract the kryptonite. Mon-El and the cultists set off after to chase after them. Meanwhile, Brainiac 5 and Supergirl Brainiac's annoyed with himself because he's realised his plan was man-cow-poo. And he says that Kara's brilliant, and just as they're about to kiss, Phantom Girl shows up and saves them.
Of course.
Along with the remaining two parts of, well, now Duplicate Girl.
Yeah, it's a good job she can change her title.
And the Invisible Kid is also there.
Which makes sense, because they could hide.
So yeah, the person that everyone thinks is dead, and the two people who have powers that make them impossible to catch,
yeah,
have survived, and they do the gag about, oh, if you can't turn clothes invisible, are you wearing any now? And he is, because he can now turn his clothes invisible.
Hooray! He got an upgrade. They all got an upgrade, except for Triplicate Girl, who got downgrade, but now she's only Duplicate Girl.
Hooray. What a great and satisfying character arc.
Yes.
What the word I can't say on this show, because I edited. So, the six of them start to come up with a plan, which the plan is, we're going to rescue those guys who were easily defeated, and this time they'll succeed.
Yeah, this time they will succeed.
They also, Brainiac is able to, after working with Dawnstar, track down the actual Legion of Superheroes and is able to hail them.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty cool. I mean, it's not super duper cool, but it's pretty cool.
A fight breaks out between the team of heroes and the cultists and Mon-El.
I love that. Yeah, they are cultists. I mean, it's just so funny, like, admitting they're cultists, but they literally are. So
Mon-El and the cultists get trapped in a room with all the other trainees, and Brainiac 5 and Supergirl go to confront Brainiac, who is just about to attuned to the machine. He's had a short rest and he is now attuned to his item.
Mm-hmm.
I love being able to make D&D references. Brainiac's plan is to take out any threats to his dominance.
Yeah, it's, again, it's just, it's all a bit weird. Like, just, I just enjoyed watching them all more than I enjoyed the plot, but the plot, we've seen worse, so.
And also, I have to admit, at least we didn't have massive fight between Brainiac and Brainiac 5 and Supergirl.
Yeah, yeah.
Instead, Brainiac 5 starts insulting Brainiac and saying, oh, he's not, you're not worthy to have this power. It should be me. I'm the smartest. It should be me. At which point, all the other Brainiacs that make up Brainiac's body something, no, it should be me.
That actually was very funny.
And they start to pull Brainiac apart.
Yeah, yeah, and that was kind of like deserved.
I mean, it goes into quite horror. Like, if they chose to do it, it could have gone into such horror territory.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't, but it could. It's, I mean, it's not nice when you think about it, yeah. But it's not like, you know.
But, yeah, Brainiac pulls itself apart.
Yeah, which is funny.
Which kills all of them. Unfortunately, by this point, the Miracle Machine's still sustaining the convert everyone into Brainiacs, as far as I can tell.
Yeah, yeah, that's the plan.
So Supergirl tries to punch the machine.
As you do.
That doesn't work. So instead, she attunes to the machine. She and Brainiac 5 then talk as Supergirl realizes she could actually resurrect Krypton.
Which is kind of crazy, isn't it? I mean, like, the thought of it, like, oh yeah, I could just do that. And it's like, yeah, you could.
But instead goes, no, that's not the right thing to do.
Which it isn't.
It isn't.
No.
And instead they go, We'll put everything back to normal, and then we will will this machine to transport itself to a different reality so that this can't happen again.
I mean, this is a bit where, like, look, we had a good time, but this is bonkers. We don't need this explaining. We don't need to know. Like, just, we would have been fine. Just move on to them all having a party. Nobody would have questioned it. But instead you have to, like, explain it. It's like the problem with a lot of comic book stuff generally is, like, this feeling that you have to explain stuff.
Fine, we can edit.
Because you just don't need to. Like, most of the time, most of us will hand wave it if we're enjoying the story.
So, Kara gets the badge that she was getting in Krypton back, which proves that everything that happened was actually real and not in her head.
Which, you know, thank God.
So, meanwhile, the Dark Circle has all been defeated, apart from Mon-El. Mon-El and Supergirl have a very brief fight. Supergirl wins. And the Legion of Superheroes arrives and says, "Well done, you all deserve to join the team now."
Which is very strange.
And Supergirl and Brainiac 5 kiss. To end
the film. Yeah, I know. She gets to introduce him as her boyfriend. She's quite nice. She's like, "Hi, it's my boyfriend. Hi, Cal. Thanks for sending me to the future."
Yes, this is so there's then a post-credit scene.
Oh, sorry. I'm jumping ahead. Bye. I actually watched a post-credit scene, everyone. I noticed it existed and watched it.
The post-credit scene actually does something.
Yeah. No, I was like, generally, I was like, I just left it running, and I was like, "Oh, there is one, and it's good."
So, firstly, Supergirl opens up a time portal to introduce Superman and go, "Hey, Clark, here's my boyfriend, a clone of one of your deadliest enemies."
Yeah, I forgot about that. That is quite funny.
Brainiac 5 quite obviously goes, "Oh dear. I'm going to be super nice so I don't get punched."
And he is.
After that, Superman and Batman meet up. Batman actually wanted Supergirl to come back.
I know.
Because he needed a big gun. Which is quite impressive, seeing as though he doesn't use them.
Well, I think he just wanted her to, you know, sort of use her, basically.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because there is a random crater in the Earth.
Wonder what that's going to end up being related to.
And then a laser hits Batman and Superman and they disintegrate. Well, they appear to be vaporized,
yes. What a shame.
The post-credit scene kills Batman and Superman.
It's amazing. It's it's totally random, but very funny. It was like, what a way to finish off. Why not?
Or at least that's what it looks like. Unfortunately, the next film is Justice League War World, where the main characters are Batman, Superman, and Wonder Woman.
Oh, is that the next film?
That's the next film in this universe. So that's what it's actually in this setting universe. Up.
Okay.
But that is not the next film that we're doing.
No, that's why I got confused. Because I thought you meant it was the next one we were watching.
No, it's not. Instead, what we're going to be watching is Batman: The Doom That Came to Gotham.
Now, I know you've told me about that one before, but I don't remember what you've told me about it.
Batman Does Eldritch Horror.
Oh, yeah. I'm not really into that.
It is based on a comic book by Mike Mignola, though.
Okay. I mean, I like him, but we'll see.
So, after that, we will be doing the first part of Justice League and Ruby, Superheroes and Huntsmen.
Is it pronounced Ruby?
Apparently, I've never known that. I don't know. I've looked it up on Wikipedia and it says that's pronounced Ruby.
Hey, I mean, that actually would make sense because I think that works quite well.
Yeah. I'll just double check. Yeah, pronounced Ruby. That's according to Wikipedia. So anyone who gets cross with me, or, well, if anyone wants to send me a long and expletive filled email about how I don't know anything about RWBY, yeah, you're correct.
Please, please send the email. Like, we'll agree. Like, I mean, I don't think either of us would pretend that we know anything about that. So, I mean, I like anime. I'm more like, I don't watch it all.
So, the second part of that film is the fifth film we're watching. Between the times, though, we are doing Justice League War World.
Hooray.
Which I believe is the first time we've actually had the new Trinity as the free title characters. And it is actually the three of them as the title characters.
Okay, cool.
And also Scooby-Doo and Crypto 2.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
Which, yeah, I mean, the other times that we've done Scooby-Doo films have been pretty good, and the time we did Crypto is all right.
Yeah, so I have high hopes for that one being fun. I mean, look, I think all of them sound fun. I'm not really into gothic horror, but it could be good.
It could be, yeah.
In the same way as Batman, Justice League done in an animation style could be good. I have, like, no worries about the animation style. It's more about the storytelling. So, like, where I thought Legion of Superheroes worked well was I thought, like, I had no expectations or low expectations to it, but I actually ended up quite enjoying it because I think the story held well. So I think that's all you can really hope for these chuck-em-out film.
Yep. Anyway, we will be back in 2 weeks' time with Batman, the Doom That Came to Gotham.
Looking forward to it.
Thank you for listening to the DCAU podcast. You can follow us on social media. We are at DCAU podcast on Twitter. Or you can email in to us with either feedback on our show or on the movies we're about to watch at DCAUpodcast@yahoo.com. The DCAU podcast is protected under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Sharealike 4.0 International License. Thank you for listening.